Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code COMICCOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.
Welcome to the one and only Comic-Con podcast, your podcast for comic book news, reviews, and comic community drama, with your hosts, Nemesis Prime and Milton the Madman. Are you listening?
Welcome back, everybody. How's it going, everybody? We are the Comic-Con podcast. Season 4, Episode 5, recording this on January 31st, the last day of January. We finished our first month of January 24th, but you're not listening to this until at least February the 2nd, and I will be currently in Orlando for MegaCon, and I had to bring in somebody because Zach's not here.
Yeah, right.
Oh, hey.
And I will be in Nashville. Yeah. I'll actually be in Nashville. So if anyone's around Nashville, and honestly, actually, I was going to ask this. I have some kind of time to myself while I'm there. If anyone knows of any good comic book shops worth checking out, I'll be in like downtown Nashville for a couple days, just kind of roaming. So hit me up in Instagram, Milton the Manimal on Instagram, and give me some suggestions. Would love to check out some Nashville spots or meet up for some beers. Let me know.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I'd ask where some comic shops are in Orlando, but I think there's only one. I think it's called like Gods and Monsters is the only one that I'm actually going to check out because it's kind of close to where we're staying. But, you know, when you're in Orlando, it's a 3-day convention. It's pretty interesting. We just found out today that the hotel that we're staying at actually has like a skywalk right to the convention center. So nice. You don't even really have to go too far. It's not like going outside, but obviously
almost like Terrificon.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Similar to Terrificon. Wow, never an episode that we can't talk about Terrificon, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I got one community question. Milton the Manimal.
Ooh,
how do you feel about the Kansas City Chiefs going to the Super Bowl?
Oh, man. I'm excited, nervous, like I am always. Okay, so let me be completely honest about this, right? So anyone who's been following me in the YouTube journey was, you know, I think I've started YouTube and everything in the comic book community before the Patrick Mahomes era. So I've been a Chiefs fan my whole life. So by no means all my family from Kansas City, I'm not like a bandwagon fan. Been pretty crazy. Obviously 6 years in a row, Patrick Mahomes took us to the AFC Championship, been to 3 Super Bowls. Looks like we're on our way to our fourth right now. 2 wins, 1 loss in the Super Bowl. So it's wild, but this season, like, I'm being completely honest, I didn't have high hopes this year. I mean, we had receivers who couldn't catch balls. I mean, it was looking rough, dude. Like, literally, no one could catch a goddamn ball, which was, you know, pretty much the primary job of one specific position. They were just dropping everything. So, but Mahomes has his magic. Our defense is awesome. We limped our way into the playoffs, and then it was just, you know, taking down team after team. But, I don't know. You know, obviously there's always people out there that, oh, you guys get good calls, favorable calls, Mahomes to crybaby, blah, 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 all that. Right. And I get it too. We're the new Patriots. People are sick of us. It's, but Barstool Sports said it really good too, which was like, the truth of the matter is right now, Mahomes is the new Brady. If you want to make it in the AFC championship, you got to go through Kansas City. If you want to go to the Super Bowl, you got to worry about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And that was the same with Brady, and he used to annoy the shit out of me too playing against him. But obviously I know this is what you're getting to and what the lead in is. This is also the season of the Taylor Swift Travis Kelce love affair, and so I'll speak on it for a sec. I've always hated Travis Kelce, always hated him, like from jump, dude. I've always thought this guy was just a massive douchebag, and I remember when he was first with the Chiefs. There was a year before, like a couple of years before Patrick got there, and he straight up asked, he wanted out. He said, hey, I want to leave Kansas City. It's not big enough for my brand, blah, blah, blah. Like, this guy is just a narcissist, completely full of himself. His brother's badass. He sucks. But he is the greatest tight end in the league, and I'd rather him be on my team than anyone else's, I guess. But yeah, a lot of Taylor Swift hate coming, and I find it very unfair for her. Like, I actually feel very bad for her. Right? I mean, this is where you're going with it, right? This is the lead.
I mean, I was, yes, we're going to get into something that we decided to do last minute, but yeah. I, as you were saying, that is, of course, the Super Bowl appearances in the past couple of years. So right. Now this is obviously our fourth year doing it. And you and I have now had the, I guess, what is it, the word, the privilege of having the Chiefs in three of the past four Super right. Bowls that have since we've been doing this podcast.
Yeah, it's wild.
So I just thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah,
yeah, it is. I mean, you look at those numbers. I remember just this season, obviously, kind of you don't really think about it. And then they say it's like sixth AFC championship like in a row. Like, wow, dude. I mean, that's.
We talked about this, I guess. What was it, like Monday or Tuesday after the game? And I mean, I'm not a huge football fan anymore like I used to with all sports. But, you know, I hated Brady because it's like Brady was the type of player where if it was down to the last minute of the game and they were down and they were getting the ball back, you're like, well, Brady's going to
win. Ain't over. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even fun. Like, you're like, oh, Brady's going to win it for them. It's like, whatever. He's in this championship. Up, oh, you know, they're going to win it. So I hated watching the Patriots. But flip side, I enjoy watching Mahomes. Like, Travis, whatever, he's kind of like the grunk of, you know, the Patriots, and then even with like the Bucks and stuff.
Yeah, about well, way better than Gronk, though. Way better than Gronk.
But yeah, Mahomes is a fun quarterback to watch. He's 100% fun to watch, you know. And fun. As much as like the Eagles fell apart, you know, I liked watching Jalen Hurts too. Like, he was another great quarterback to watch, and they just completely, so whatever. But so speaking of Taylor Swift and all the hate she gets in the NFL, and, you know, this crazy. Is kind of gonna, yeah, it's wild. But, you know, this is kind of leading into our first little topic about, and this is also really going in for the community because I don't really have any questions. We don't have any questions this week, and we really don't have anything to kind of speak about. But I feel like there's this comic book that came out. It started coming out at the end of December, and it's been just bleeding and bleeding every week with new variants of this Taylor Swift cover. And people that have been bitching about it, saying that, oh, it's, you know, it's not licensed, it's not X, it's not Y, it's just like an art book, there's no comic inside, it's just a cover. And so the thing is, the background on it is, it's done by Tidal Wave Productions. It's called Female Force, and the Female Force has been going for quite a while. This is an explanation on Tidal Wave's Productions. So Female Force offers a broad examination of strong and influential women who are shaping modern history and culture. Other prominent and influential female authors, business executives, entertainers, journalists, politicians, and activists are currently in development. So there's over 60 of these titles available worldwide, both digitally and I guess some of them physical. But some of the people are on this list that you're just like, I cannot believe they actually did these comics. So you got like people like Barbara Walters, you got Cher, you got Anne Rice.
Anne Rice, wow.
Yeah, you got some, it's called Silver Screen Legends. So I'm guessing like Marilyn Monroe, Susan Sarandon. There's a couple of people that are mixed into that one. Women in Media, they have Gloria Stemmen, Women of Europe. I'm not even going through like the queens and stuff that are in there. Chelsea Handler, Mother Teresa. There's a Nancy Pelosi one.
Okay.
Yeah, Nancy Reagan, and so on and so forth. But the latest one is the Taylor Swift one, right? Now, everybody and their mother is doing these Taylor Swift variants. So everybody is buying this book thinking that it's going to be worth something. And now, you know, the most recent stuff, and this has obviously been going on for quite a while, I guess, over the past year, is that we've seen this thing where there's this rumor that she's going to be Dazzler. So now everybody's kind of creating these covers where Taylor Swift is Dazzler. And Zach and I had this, you know, pre-show discussion of it's the perfect casting, right? Agreed.
In theory, yes.
In theory. Right. So again, in theory, perfect casting for Dazzler would be a person who is a songstress, someone who is obviously already part of the musical, because that's Dazzler, right? But that's all it is. We've all thought about actors or actresses that could be like, wow, this could be the perfect role for them to play this character in this movie. But the flip side is, what can't Taylor Swift do, Zach?
So I mean, maybe this isn't fair. I've only seen like one movie. I couldn't even tell you what it was. I feel like
I can't believe you've even seen that movie.
Well, no, I don't know. I haven't. It's one of those movies with God damn it, dude. Like an ensemble cast, which are usually like the worst garbage movies of all time. And I saw part of it with her in it, and I remember being like, wow, she cannot really act very well. But I think the Taylor Swift thing, like here's the deal. And this kind of touches on like all the hate we're talking about she's getting from like fans around the NFL and saying she's ruining football and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, she's just on the screen all the time. Like, I think people need to realize two things. Taylor Swift doesn't need the NFL. She doesn't need the MCU. She doesn't need anyone. She's the most famous person on the planet, most likely. If anything, the NFL needs her, and the MCU badly needs her. Like, just like putting Taylor Swift in anything brings a multitude of rabid fan base that just will show up and support. Look at Travis Kelce, for example. How many girls bought his jersey? How many Swifties bought his jersey? It was like a 300% increase when they started dating, his jersey sales. Like, just, it's wild, dude. For some tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs, like, come on. But I don't know. I feel like she gets a lot of hate and all this stuff. But I mean, bro, if anyone, there's no one on this planet that Taylor Swift needs no one, and everyone needs her. That's really what it comes down to. But yeah, you know, the acting scene for her, and like, I don't know, like, I love Dazzler. I think Dazzler is an amazing character, especially as an X-Men. She's utilized not very often in like the capacity she should be. Her powers are amazing and can have really high-end like effects if you want to. Like, I mean, she's super powerful. So I think if a character you get like Taylor Swift, you're really looking like almost like probably like a cameo, right? Like, it's not going to be a really beefed up role. She's super busy. She's not going to have time to actually have like a fleshed out character role as Dazzler.
It's like a one day shoot type of thing. And then, hey, I got to go back on tour.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. Whatever. Maybe even a little bit more, but still like I'm trying to think like a really small, like some of those characters in the X-Men Days of Future Past that were like in the future. Remember when like Sunfire was in there? And he barely had like much of a role, but it was cool seeing him. Something like that is what I think you'd get from her. And it sucks because I think Dazzler is a character that could be utilized very well. And I'd love to see have like a character arc or like in development. I mean, plus she's a character we haven't seen in the X-Men movies, which is like also awesome to have a new character. We're not getting the same characters we've seen throughout the Fox movies. So I don't know. I'm hoping it's not going to be her. Not because I dislike her, though.
So I guess back to the whole why we're kind of talking about this right. Community / Taylor Swift thing is, so people are buying up all these variants. Now, let's just say she doesn't become Dazzler. Now you have all these, like, you as a collector have these covers. What are you doing with them? Are they worth anything after that? Right. And like, how are you going to sell? Like, if you're like, oh, I got to get out, you know, if I need to sell books to get out of the hobby or sell books because of X, Y, and Z, I need money. Nobody's going to buy these books.
Yeah, I don't see.
I mean, I can't even, unless you're selling them to like a Taylor Swift fan. And I'm sure like Taylor Swift fans, like the Swifties, are not in the know of like the comic book, right? Like all these different covers and variants and understanding. And I don't know. I feel like you're going to shortchange yourself and kick yourself in the ass if you're buying all these books that all these retailers are putting out for whatever reason.
But, yeah. I mean, you're going to have definitely a short box full of these books just kind of sitting around, but you know, collect what you like. If that's your thing, if you're, you know, you're into that, if you like Taylor Swift, if you're hoping for the Dazzler hit. But I mean, even if she hits as Dazzler, like, I mean, really, there's so many of these books as well. Like, you think yours is going to be the one that holds like the, because typically there's always only one book, right? There'll be one variant that is the one that holds the value that everyone wants to get. And it's usually the harder to get one, the rarest one. There's only going to be one. So, I mean, I guess if you got them all, you got a good chance of hitting that one. But then you're going to have the rest of them sitting around. So we just say
don't buy in the FOMO. Because what you're going to end up doing is you're just going to have all these books. And then you're going to have to unload them like super cheap. I just feel like that's where we're going with the Swift thing. Is that I think everybody that wants her to be Dazzler is going to be very upset. and, you know, like all those people that bought up that one, was it X-Men 130? Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great book to have. That's
a great book to have. Yeah. Great cover for his appearance. It hits on everything.
Even the Dazzler One's a great book to have.
Yes. It's just tough. Like, yeah. I think at the end of the day, like, I don't know. I feel like she's not going to be Dazzler.
I'm not telling anyone how to collect or what to collect. I collect what you want to do, get what you want. But
what did you say, Zach?
I feel like I want to say buying all these things, it's like feeding the birds, right? When you go to like the parks or it says, please do not feed the birds. That's what you're doing. You're feeding these variant cover people who just do all these. Please stop feeding them. Maybe they'll go away. Maybe we'll have less variants and less exclusives, quote unquote. Stop feeding the birds and these people will disappear into a different hobby because they don't like comics. They're not here for the comic community. They're here for your money. So stop feeding the birds and let's have less exclusives.
I like that. Okay. So speaking of comics, let's kind of get into comic book talk. So we have a lot of comics. I think there was a lot that came out this week to talk about. And then obviously, like I said, I actually got a chance to get to the shop and read my stuff. Nice. And I actually got a chance to read everything last week. So let's kind of go over last week's books first. So now that we can kind of spoil some stuff. So real quick, the Ghost Machine number one, you were absolutely correct. The mini stories were great. Yeah. I cannot wait for Rook Exodus.
Yeah.
Like that is just amazing. I love how you said in the issue, there's like the final pages has like their talent card or whatever it is, like their information about the characters. Mm-hmm. And especially for that one, it goes into more depth of each of their characters and their abilities, like between Rook, Swine, and Direwolf. Mm-hmm. Super excited for that. One of them that you didn't talk about, which I actually liked, was the Horsby and Halo, which is the kid and girl. One's like the devil and then one's like an angel, I guess. And they're playing baseball. Like there's that.
I think I skipped through that one, actually.
That one's actually pretty interesting. I think that's got a fun, like, kids take on, you know, the devil and, you know, an angel. So that was definitely an interesting one. The Hyde Street was phenomenal as well. I think that one's creepy enough to be like, ooh, you really want to know where that's going to go. And having Jeff Johns is going to write that. And then Yvonne Reese is going to be the artist, and his art is killer. I've liked his art since like the Green Lantern New 52 stuff and other things, you know, the Aquaman stuff he did as well. So those are just last week's kind of holdovers. Oh, and the final one from last week, Penguin number 6.
Yes. So good, huh?
The first sidekick of Batman.
All right.
Spoiler, don't care now. It's been out for a week and a half. Very interesting. The art wasn't the best for this issue, but yeah, the very... You know, you're kind of like, all right, where is, you know, what's Penguin trying to do? Like, he's getting his ass kicked, and he's kind of that mole that's in, you know, Falcone's, you know, club, and that's how he takes over the Iceberg Lounge. And that's always something that, I guess, even in the modern Batman with him having the, you know, having the lounge is he doesn't really do bad things. And sometimes Batman shows up and there are villains, and he's always like, you know, kind of like wants information. You know, and he always kind of always says, he's like, oh, I'm playing the side of good. Like, I don't do that anymore. Like, I'm not part of the whatever, like the villains. Like, I have my own thing going here. So, yeah, definitely very interesting kind of like change of lore for Batman. But, yeah, we've talked about it. I know other people have talked about it. But the Penguin series has been something that's been spot on for Batman's rogues.
What did you think? So, you know, I found it interesting. Well, two questions.
Sure.
I'll save the longer one for a second. So it definitely kind of felt like it's almost mirroring somewhat what we're seeing in the current, like Matt Reeves, Batman, like cinematic, right? Cause this is almost kind of the same arc in a way of like Penguin, where he's like, he's a kind of a crony. Obviously in the movie, he had a little bit more power than he did in this movie as like, or as this book as like a bartender, but he kind of helps Batman at the end, gives him information. Falcone goes down, and now he's kind of left with the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. Last man standing is kind of what we're going to see probably in the little Penguin series, which I always find that cool in a way, you know, when you mirror the comics somewhat to the movies. I guess it just depends. But so my question to you, obviously being like a big Batman fan, Penguin being one of the most like storied villains in Batman, you know, across all mediums. I mean, he's been in Penguin's been in all mediums besides mm-hmm. Nolan. Yep. Literally showed up in every Batman. He's probably next to the Joker, one of the most memorable villains of Batman lore. Does it bother you that it like retconned kind of his history and his like story a little bit?
I think it did it for the better. Like, you know, kind of the golden age version of Penguin was like whatever, and Silver Age is kind of the same thing. I think it wasn't really until that modern age, I would say more so in the new 52 kind of relaunch, and even like the Arkham series, like where we really saw like a different side of Penguin. Mm-hmm. But I get what you're saying. Like it is odd for the Batman, especially in his younger years, to like be, you know, kind of feed off of like someone who was a, you know, was yeah. he like a kid? Was he
right? Like, it was kind of weird, right?
Yeah, it's very hard to explain. Like, because yeah. even like then, when what's his age? Because I mean, there are times where they're the same age bracket, but now this makes him almost seems like he's way younger than Batman.
Yeah, some stories they grew up together, right? Bruce and Oswald in the same like, social circles.
He's definitely a memorable character. I even like, you know, and doesn't get enough praise, but him, the version that they had in Gotham was a great.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a great storyline. Cause the way he started off, where he was when he first started mm-hmm. to where the show then finally ended, like that was a great progression of him, a great progression of James Gordon. That's what I really liked about the Gotham series. I thought that was done very well with how they handled Penguin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love to go back and actually rewatch that. Not so much for the Batman aspect, but just the whole Gotham.
Because good luck. It's what, six seasons?
Like yeah, I know. It's definitely tough. There are some rough spots, but there are some definitely nice.
There's
spots
some highlights in that series. Yeah.
For sure. Totally. So let's kind of start this week off. I'm gonna start the hot garbage first.
Okay.
Definitely gonna go with Spider Boy.
I can't even believe you're reading that.
You know what? Because I'm only reading it just because I want to read how bad it is.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because I'm tired of hearing in every issue of how he was Spider-Man's sidekick and nobody knows who he is. And he's in this, now he's in this reality. So it's like, that's like the running joke for him. Like that's his like running tagline of okay. like, oh, you don't know me anymore, but you used to know me, but now I'm in this reality. And now, you know, I used to be Spider-Man's sidekick, but nobody knows me. And now everybody, you know, you will remember me type of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's tough because I feel like for somebody who doesn't have anybody, they constantly need to bring in characters to support his book. Like they had Cap and then it was like Taskmaster. And this issue actually was really good. They had this little kid like Killionaire who had this cool action figure. Well, the villain in a way was like this total action figure, like, you know, toy soldiers, you know, like mm-hmm. toy soldiers.
Yeah.
But he was this character was able to create this toy soldier version of he had all the powers of the Avengers. So this thing could actually change into the different Avengers and have their abilities, which was actually really cool. And by the end of the issue, Spider-Boy, I want us to call him Superboy. Spider-Boy actually kind of talks him out of being like a mindless drone, mindless toy, kind of like Buzz Lightyear. And Canadians will get that. And he says, oh, you could do whatever you want. He's like, you have a mind of your own. You have free will. And then the thing kind of just changes into like this other type of robot and then kind of flies off. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this could be the start of like a cooler character, like a someone that may show up in other books. I'm like, that's pretty, you know, that's a very good kind of like first appearance of a character that wasn't.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, it could grow somewhere. But yeah, and then not in the next issue, he's going to have Miles in his book. It's just like you should be growing your. Of course, yeah. I feel like you should be growing your series on your own to find out who this character is instead of, you know, again, like the first probably part of the next book is going to be, hey, you don't remember me, Miles, but I remember you. But in this, you know, this universe is different. So that's the only reason why I'm reading Spider-Boy. But
okay,
to each his own. If you like Spider-Boy, fine. I just can't get behind it. But that's my hot garbage. So let's kind of get into some great books of the week. But you and I, we're going to figure this one out because this is the first time that we're actually going to do this. I know you read Wolverine.
Yes.
And I know you read Carnage.
Yes.
So let's, you and I are going to have to pick which one is going to be the best, but let's just kind of figure this out. So Marvel has, like, over the past couple of months, has completely gone, been like, hey, we need to switch it up, because like Boom's doing some great stuff. Image is doing some great stuff. You know, other low level publishers are doing some amazing books. Which one do you want to talk about? And then I'll take the opposite.
I'll talk about Wolverine. Wolverine.
So Carnage. I feel like I am reading like Seven. That is how this book.
Seven mixed with like, what's the show? The Jesus show that's going on right now. That's super. Because the 12 Apostles, the whole 12 Apostles.
Okay, thing. Yes. Yes, I feel like it's totally, I'm watching Seven with the gruesome, the absolute gruesome kills. The violence of it is just so perfect. The writing is absolutely stellar. Just learning more about Carnage and then this, you know, Cletus Kasady, who's in this issue, just what he wants to become. And there's like a line in it that's something along, you know, when they're both speaking to each other of, why are you trying to get rid of all your weaknesses so then you can become a god, where once you get done killing, like nobody, you're not going to fear anything. There's no purpose of it. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth, is he's trying to get rid of
the top. Yeah.
It's like, what are you going to, there's no reason for getting to this point, because then no one's going to fear you. There's going to be no thrill in it. There's no challenge to it. You have no, vulnerability. So yeah, Carnage is absolutely great. Mm-hmm. You could talk about Wolverine. And I know you didn't, I'm going to talk about two more books and then I'll let you kind of go.
Yeah.
So Trinity Special, the DC Trinity Special, I thought was very well on the DC side this week. So remember like a year ago, we had Wonder Woman 800 and each of the storylines, there was like five or six storylines and each of them involved a different Wonder Woman. It had like Nubia, had Wonder Woman, had, I can't even think of her other, the other, what was the one that came out recently that was terrible?
Yara Flora.
Yeah, Yara Flora. And then the last story in that book was Trinity, which was Wonder Woman's daughter, but it was set kind of in the future. So this book came out and it's set in the future. And it's part of that original story that was shown up in Wonder Woman 800, but that's actually the third part of the story that's in this book. But it starts off at different points in her life with Damian and with John. Mm-hmm. And like the first story has like her as like a baby, where Damian takes her to go fight a villain. I'm not going to really spoil too much, but you know, basically it's like a baby. And then you realize like who she really is. And then she's kind of a little bit older and she's dealing with being a teenager. And then the final storyline, which kind of then falls into what Wonder Woman 800 was her kind of becoming like Wonder Woman. And there's a very good similarities or parallel story that works with both when Diana was learning to become Wonder Woman. And now when Trinity is learning to become Wonder Woman on Themyscira. So I thought it was a cool one shot. It expanded her more because it was something that we only heard about very briefly in Wonder Woman 800.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a great issue to pick up just because it gives you a little bit more, because you also get to see the progression of Damian as an older Batman. And then you also get to see a progression of John Kent as Superman as well. Cause that's obviously where they're kind of leading, is this new generation of Trinity.
Where does it say where you'll see her again next? Or
it ends exactly how Wonder Woman 800. It just says continued in the pages of Wonder Woman.
Okay.
That's it. And last but not least, not really my pick of the week, but I'm sure you're going to choose another title, so I won't talk, I won't speak about one of them. But the Batman and Robin annual that just came out.
Yeah.
Stellar issue with Batman and Robin. They go on like this road trip where they're going to just be like no suits, no Batman stuff, no Robin stuff. And they end up getting caught in like this kind of like poaching ring where Roulette sets up this hunting ground, almost like, I feel like I'm watching Predator.
Yeah. Because
they set up,
or Surviving the Game. Remember the old Ice-T movie? Surviving the Game?
Yeah.
Yes. They hunt humans. Yeah.
Yes. So very similar to that. But of course, who do they end up having to, you know, all these hunters and these characters end up having to hunt Batman and Robin, even though they don't know it's Batman and Robin, because it's just two people. So they set up all these traps, and it's very familiar to watching like Predator and other of those type of survival movies, the way these traps are, and they have to do this without with basically like nothing because they didn't bring anything, right? They didn't bring their suits. They didn't bring a lot of their gadgets. And the cool character that kind of shows up, and it was actually really cool, was Bloodsport, to see actually him in the comic books, because he's someone that we briefly got to see in the one Suicide Squad storyline that was going on like Earth 3 with Peacemaker and whatever.
Titans, but, I think Titan bleed over in that one.
Yes, exactly. So just some great stuff this week and some stuff from last week. Oh, and then just the one other book was Duke number 2, part of the Void Rivals Energon universe with Transformers. Did you get Duke 2?
Oh yeah.
Sets up some stuff. We get to see some characters more in the G.I. Joe universe and some villains. And just, you know, again, if you're continuing to read the Duke, the Cobra Commander, the Void Rivals, and the Transformers, there's everything is all put together very well. So I do like it. And again, I said it when I read the Cobra Commander one. I'm not a big G.I. Joe fan, but I am interested in obviously what's going on. It's a good like starting point for someone who vaguely knows the G.I. Joe universe to read it. So yeah, that's what I got.
Nice. Okay. Shit. Where do I start? Do I start with Wolverine? Okay. We'll start with Wolverine since we kind of talked about it. Man, I mean
that's your pick of the week, right? We'll just go with that. That's your pick of the week.
Sure, I guess.
It's gotta be. There's no way that it can't be.
I mean, yeah, definitely probably. I'm looking at the books real quick. Pick of the week. Yeah, that's it. That's definitely it. I mean, so I can't remember how much was spoiled last time, but obviously the end of issue one, we see the dismemberment and like spreading of his body parts. Dakin and other mutants are used to spell out happy birthday, Logan, which is just like horrendous. So Sabretooth and crew set down on Wolverine, capture him, and then move on to the little fortress that the X-Men are hanging out in up there in the North Pole. And if you thought the first issue was violent and they might like chill out in the second issue, you were wrong. Like they go just as hard, if not harder, in the second issue. And so it's just like Justin said, it's wild to see Marvel kind of, I don't know if this was like a coordinated like decision by Marvel. They definitely picked two characters that you kind of like, these would be the ones, right? Like Wolverine, Carnage, Punisher. Yeah, I guess Deadpool, but he's so comedic, it's kind of lame. But those are like your big characters. If you were to go violent and like hardcore, that would be the ones, right? Like the mature audience type situation. But the story's awesome. I mean, it's hardcore, old school Wolverine versus Sabretooth, which we have not seen in a long time. So this is a 10-part series, and it's Wolverine versus Sabretooth. It's all in the Wolverine title. And it comes out bi-weekly as well. So every other week, you're getting another issue. And I don't want to like spoil anything, but
I can't believe it's got eight more parts. I can't believe we're going to go eight more issues with this.
I don't know how many people are going to be left alive.
Yeah.
For Sabretooth and Wolverine to kill. Like, it's just wild. Like what Wolverine does to himself to get free at that part. That's crazy. Like, where's that going to go? it's awesome. You definitely got to check this out. Benjamin Percy and Victor Lavelle, or however you pronounce his name, teaming up for this story, and it's great. So do not miss that. Other honorable mentions, there was issue one of Dead X-Men, which is part of the Fall of the House of X storyline. This takes place, this is kind of the at the Hellfire Gala, when the X-Men were attacked and all killed, they had just selected the new X-Men team that was going to be the flagship X-Men team. And it's characters like Dazzler and Prodigy, Cannonball, Frenzy, and a few others. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But anyway, they're alive and they're on kind of like on a secret mission for Xavier and Phoenix, or Rachel Summers. And they're, I don't want to spoil what they're kind of trying to do, but they're trying to obviously save everything. But it's cool. It's a cool team. What I really liked about it was at one point Xavier asks, like, why'd you pick this team? Like, he asked Rachel Summers, like, why'd you pick these guys? And she's like, because everyone's going to expect you to pick. And she just like boils it down. Like, everyone's going to expect you to pick a Canadian with a temper, and someone's going to expect you to pick a telepathic ninja. And that's what they're going to be looking for. They're going to expect these powerhouses and the main people. And so She's like, I picked this team that operates well, and you know, they kind of are going to be able to do the job. I trust them. And then she finishes it by saying, plus they're the X-Men. They were chosen. They're the X-Men team. So I think it's cool. I love the team that they've got.
Great cover too. That
front the cover. The graves. The one coming out of like the graves. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Jubilee's on the team too. Jubilee, Cannonball, Frenzy, Prodigy, Dazzler. That might be it, but yeah. Awesome. Really, really good read. And then this one's a couple weeks old, but DCBS, I just got it a little while ago, was, you know, I talk about it every time and I can't say it enough, but The Bloody Dozen, Charles Soule's Shrouded College Bloody Dozen number 2. I mean, vampires in space and like a prison break. What?
I was wondering why it took you so long to talk about this book, because I was going to talk about it.
Yeah.
This week and maybe 2 weeks ago, not last week, the week before. And I'm like, how come he hasn't talked about this book yet?
That's because I hadn't got it for.
I'm realizing why you hadn't talked about it, because I'm like, it came out and I'm like, this is Zach's title. Like, he should be talking about this.
Typically, I'll read it online first because I know, because I'm so excited and I want to read it. And man, it's so good. And I cannot wait till next week when you actually get to. So there's 9 vampire like lords up in this prison circling the sun. Right. And so this family has to go up there and rescue them or do something for them with the Shrouded College. And they kind of break into the lore a little bit here, but not really. And then at the end of the book, Charles Soule has like a little, you know, dialogue page where he's telling you next week or next issue, you're going to find out like the history of the characters. And I cannot wait, dude. It's so cool. It's such a wild episode or like idea with, like these robots building a prison. And oh dude, I love all the Shrouded College stuff. So
yeah, I didn't want to talk about it at all because I was waiting for you to talk about it because I know it's your thing. So
yeah. Did you like it though? It's cool.
Right? Oh yeah. I didn't do the whole bloody, like Hell to Pay and the bloody, you know, that I read the first issue and I had questions when it first came out. And yeah, the second issue, it's wild. Like he's creating this universe and I enjoy it.
Yeah, what's cool too is like you don't have to read Hell to Pay to understand Bloody Dozen. I mean, they don't. Mm-hmm. You're just seeing another side of this, like this war between the Shrouded College and the Artisans, I think is what they're called. This other like group that we don't know much about yet as well. So each little 6-part series is going to kind of give a window into this universe a little bit more. But they're not. It doesn't seem like you need them yet to like read them all to understand each individual. So really cool. Check it out. There's only 2 issues so far, so you're not too far back if you haven't started. Yep. But one other book, and he's gonna be mad at me.
Oh, obviously. I'm hoping you I know what you're talking about.
Gargoyle of Gotham.
I read the first issue.
Okay, yeah, I read the first issue.
I didn't read the second issue.
Well, so yeah, Greg from Paperweight Comic or Collects, Paperweight Collects, right?
Collectibles, yeah.
Collectibles, yes, sorry. He messaged me and he's like, I almost called you out because you guys hadn't read it. You didn't talk about it. So I did read the first issue and it was really cool. I'm excited to read issue 2, but I just haven't got to it yet. So,
yes. Yeah, I still got to read issue 2. I did read it. I think I mentioned it to him because what happened was, I think we talked about this. Somebody called me. I'm sure I brought this up. Somebody called me and said, oh, what was the name of the book that you guys talked about last week on the show? And, you know, oh yeah, Batman. And I even told Greg about it as well.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, he's like, let me know once you get finished. And I did read the first issue. I didn't read the second one just because I forget what was going on at that point. But yeah, I liked the first issue. The art's interesting. Batman's, I could see what Greg was saying. Like it's literally what Matt Reeves is doing. It's
right.
You could just take every panel from this book and just write the movie for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. It is long though. Like, I mean, and there's only 2 issues, so they are longer. So I just, like I said, I hadn't got around to issue 2 yet. But what did you think I was gonna say?
I thought you were gonna talk about Dr. Aphra because I forgot how bad that was.
The whole series is bad, dude.
I know, but it finally ended, and it was between that and Bounty Hunters. At least Bounty Hunters ended on like on a good note. I feel like Dr. Aphra did introduce, I think they introduced 2 new characters in this final issue that will show up once they do that relaunch of Bounty Hunters, Dr. Aphra. whatever. I feel like the characters are, I don't know what they're going to do, but
there's just not, it's unfortunate because when when Dr. Aphra came out as a character, she had so much potential and she was so cool. And then she literally, nothing has changed with her. Like, there's been no character development with her. She's just...
No, there has. There has. They had to go the route of... She went from being a Indiana Jones character with two murder droids to being... Her character development has now revolved more around her relationship with...
Yes.
Magna Talvan and Sana Staros.
Yeah. It's just, like, yeah, the LGBTQ theme.
Like, yeah, they were. It was such a cool idea to have like a treasure hunter with freaking murder droids.
Yeah, right. Like, when did you ever see murder droids, right? So, yeah, it was so cool. And then, honestly, all of her supporting characters suck, dude. Like, Just Lucky and like these other idiots. I feel like they all have stupid names, too. And I just couldn't have been less interested. I don't think I will collect a Dr. Aphra title moving forward. I'll read them online. I'll check them out. Mm-hmm. But I can't justify spending the money on this. Honestly, I feel like Bounty Hunters was garbage in terms of like the whole run. Same with Dr. Aphra. Literally, the stories never mattered unless you got to the point where it intersected on any of the events. And even mm-hmm. then, it barely mattered. But yep. I think Bounty Hunters and like Aphra had the same like trajectory of their story where it was like, oh, we're running around, we're doing this. It doesn't really matter. Oh, cool. Everyone died. Oh, they're all back next issue. Oh, cool. We're running around, we're doing this. Build the crew next issue. Okay. Oh, you know, it's the same thing over and over again. And suck, dude. And then even this, the end of this issue, like, which she's like, it seemed like it was going to be cool, right? Like, she found that book, which maybe that would be kind of something cool. This Jedi book that might have Jedi lore. And then. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, it was not a great way to end the series, you know, and at least the last one, the first volume, you know, for the most part, it was half written by Gillen, right?
Yeah.
And then it kind of switched. But again, it didn't expand her character to the point of it's unreadable. Like, it had BT 000, it had Black Rasant in there. Like, it was cool before Black Rasant was like on the TV show. Like, he was just the character. Like, he was a comic book character. But yeah, this one had way too many crossovers with everything else. And I think that's obviously the same thing that's the issue. Like you said, same thing with like Bounty Hunters is once you start throwing too many tie-ins, it unravels the main story and it's tough to get it back on track.
And the characters aren't strong enough to have their own story anyway. I don't believe, but they're also, that's the thing. And that's what sucks about Dr. Aphra, I feel like, is she started off as a supporting character. There was potential to make her a leading character. And I think the poor writing and the poor storytelling on her character has now made her back to being a supporting character. And every character in Bounty Hunters are supporting characters, even Valance. Mm-hmm. Like, in both those titles, there's not one leading character in there that can really like carry its own story. And it's because of the poor writing, I feel like, and direction.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the Dark Horse days, like there's no, like all the Bounty Hunter, unless it was either Boba Fett, but he's a main character, and like the Jango Fett, mm-hmm. I can't really think of a Dark Horse Bounty Hunter title that had solid writing.
Yeah.
Like, there really isn't. Like, any of the characters that showed up were like, whatever. But unless it's either, if it wasn't Boba Fett or Jango Fett, it really wasn't a great series. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's going back quite a while for the Dark Horse stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so whatever. It's ended.
Yeah.
We're going to get a new number one. We talked about it last week. So,
yeah, I don't think we'll be picking that up.
I don't know if it's a one shot. I don't know if it's continuing, but so that's all of the comic talk for the week. Let's kind of get into some articles before we bounce out of this season's episode. So just released. Actually, yeah, it has been released since now that you're listening to this episode was the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. If you don't know, the video game came out, and if you had early access to it, or what should I say, like deluxe editions, which was like 2 or 3 days prior, there was nothing but glitches. There was you were able to log in, and somehow it gave you a completed screen where like you basically completed the game. Then there were some people who basically tried to start it, and because it's almost like a live service type of game, couldn't even get into the game because of the servers. So Rocksteady who makes the game, obviously, kind of came back and gave people like $20 credit for future skins and other bullshit. But that's just stupid. But anyway, we all thought that the Kill the Justice League was going to be the final voiceover for Kevin Conroy, the late Kevin Conroy. But over at ScreenRant.com, Kevin Conroy confirmed to appear as Batman one more time after Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. So while Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League has been criticized over Kevin Conroy's Batman, he will return as the Dark Knight in a very special way. And I haven't played the Suicide Squad, but it's called Kill the Justice League. Batman will die. I've seen it. That's not a spoiler. The other Justice Leaguers will die. That's not a spoiler. That's the name of the game. Anyway, so Kevin Conroy is returning as Batman in at least one more project, Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 3. So Part 1 actually just got released this past month digitally. I think it's on DVD and Blu-ray right now. But Conroy will be reprising his role of Batman from the Batman Animated Universe. He has also recorded lines for the upcoming animated series, Batman Cape Crusader, though his role has not been confirmed. So, obviously, like I said, you know, Kevin's kind of gone, but we still get some last chances to actually hear his voice. Hopefully it'll end way better than it did in this video game, because I felt like the last time that we would have heard it would have been either Arkham Knight or one of the animateds, is my guess. I'd have to look at like the Screen Rant or IMDb, but yeah. Well, what are your thoughts on, you know, getting to hear Kevin one more time after this? From
yeah, it'll be cool. I don't know if I'm going to check out the game. I might if I get a chance. Obviously, there's a lot of other games I'd rather play right now, and it hasn't got right like a lot of good talk. But I do like, you know, what Rocksteady did, and I loved the Arkham series. So maybe at some point I'll check it out. But yeah, of course. I mean, it's sad to even hear Kevin Conroy like retire, you know, but hell yeah, keep coming. I hope next time he comes back and says, one more, I'll do one more, you know.
Well, yeah, that was the thing, you know. We thought we'd get more of him, but I think he's the only voice actor from the Batman animated series in the Justice League that passed away. I feel like everybody else is still alive, so
yeah.
Anyway, that's some confirmed news. So if you're still looking forward to hearing more of Kevin Conroy, you have him in the upcoming Crisis on Infinite Earth, which I haven't watched the movie, but I heard some good things. I've seen some photos of Part 2. I'm excited to watch and see what they do with the DC animated, because those are always done very, very well. So what about you? I know you got an article.
Yeah, so a little something from Bleeding Cool about Marvel. Marvel to launch 2099 in the summer of 2024. Which honestly, as I read that title, I'm kind of like, why not just wait till 2099? But then I was like, oh, it's a long time away. Sorry. Anyway, just thinking out loud here.
You realize the math right there?
Yeah, I was like, oh, wait. I just looked at the numbers real quick and I thought, oh, that's only like 5 years away. But anyway, tomorrow sees the publication of the final fifth issue of the weekly miniseries from Marvel Comics, Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099. So basically, they got the miniseries with Miguel O'Hara 2099 coming out, and it's going to end here this week. This article was written, when was this? Tuesday. So this week, if you picked it up, you picked up the last issue. But there is something wider for the entire 2099 universe, which on original publication included Punisher 2099, Hulk 2099, X-Men 2099, Doom 2099, and more. So Marvel, little history, Marvel 2099 is coming this summer. But a little history of it was first published in 92. Obviously, it was kind of a retcon. It kind of showed new characters in the future. Like I said, the Doom, Punisher, Spider-Man, X-Men, Ravage. What else do we have? Ghost Rider, Hulk, X-Nation. But typical 90s characters, right? This is like hardcore 90s. But it'd be kind of fun to see them come back to 2099. We've seen a lot of, obviously, Spider-Man 2099 over the years. Where else did we see? I think Ghost Rider 2099 showed up briefly somewhere a couple of years ago, and some of the X-Men 2099 characters showed up as well in the Marauder storyline, I feel like, recently. But I think it'd be kind of cool. Like, honestly, I want like an I can't remember if something got announced. Maybe it was individual, but like a 2099 omnibus would be great. Like, I would love to go back and read all the 2099 titles in some kind of easy format. But so, yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts? I mean, obviously, Spider-Man 2099 popped with the Miles Morales movie. So this is kind of something to hit on here.
Yeah, it's tough because I feel like the only character to survive the 2099 was Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Always going to be a Spider-Man character that survives any of these like different incarnations. When I was growing up in the 90s, I remember reading all the 2099 stuff. Doom, the X-Men. Remember they had that, like, what was it called? Like Fall of the Hammer storyline, I think. That's what it was called. Yeah. I remember that was pretty badass. The X-Men stuff was interesting because they were just like wild characters. I don't know. I like where you're going. I would love to see. I'd love to see an omnibus because there's people that have never read any of that 2099 stuff. Where they're gonna go, there's different characters. Like I when I was at the shop today grabbing the books, on the cover for Miles or not Miguel, he's fighting Swamp Thing. I keep doing the DC thing, Man Thing.
Yeah,
2099. So I don't know the story of it, but he's on the cover. And there's so many characters that they could do with 2099 with, whether they're, you know, cyborg versions or great great grandkids of these characters, but I don't know how I feel about like the 2099 stuff unless they do it well. You know, I think let's do one title at a time, because I feel like Spider-Man 2099 has been around. I think he's on his like fifth volume, maybe. Like they rebooted him for the first time what was it, like after the first Spider-Verse Into the Spider-Verse comic, not the movie,
yeah,
was when he got his like first series. And that was actually, it was good. I actually enjoyed reading that. And then it kind of just like drowned out with all the other Spider titles.
Yeah.
They keep trying to push him into a title.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I get it. They kind of come back to these things every once in a while for when there's popularity and drive for it, but it's just going to depend on how good it is. Right. So.
But who's calling for 2099?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's you know what, though? Maybe it's a 90s thing. Everything in the 90s is coming back right now. So maybe that's what it is, dude. Maybe they're just like, you know what? Let's go back to the 90s. And I think they like these little pocket universes also because there's no rules there, right? So you can kind of do whatever you want.
True. Yeah. All right.
So who knows? What do you think? You think we're going to see tons of like extra glossy foil covers, wraparound covers, like that? I mean, that, if they don't do that, then they didn't do it right.
I want embossed,
yeah,
embossed oil covers, yeah. Without embossed, a doubt. Yeah. Die cut embossed covers. So when like it's like one cover, when you open it up, it's like the same cover, but you know, flat on. Yeah, that's what I want for these.
Yep. Either do that or don't do it at all.
I mean, come on, DC's doing they did that Justice League Godzilla book, Godzilla versus Godzilla, King Kong, and Justice League. And the first issue had, you could buy it with a little voice thing that had Godzilla or King Kong's roar. Like, I mean, yeah, you paid a little bit more money, but I'm sure to do an embossed cover is not more expensive, like less expensive to do than that.
Yeah. Well, cool. That's all I got.
Awesome. Well, that's it for this week's episode. Appreciate everybody stopping in. Again, make sure you check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies. Dropped a video over on our Instagram. You can see how cool they work. Go pick them up, get a little bit of a discount. This weekend, like I said, I'll be at MegaCon. So if you're listening to this early enough, I will be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So if you're in the Orlando area, hit me up on Instagram, because wouldn't mind hanging out with some people I've never met before. And, you know, we'll be back next week. I don't know if we have a guest next week. No, you won't be here next week, possibly.
Right.
But I will be returning for my first, I'll do a review of my first MegaCon experience. Then we do have some stuff going on for February with guests. And, you know, right around the corner is King Kong. Right around the corner will be Terrificon. So,
yeah. And like you said, anyone out in the Nashville area, hit me up. If you're free, especially Monday through like Wednesday during the day, let me know. I'll be around. If you got any shop recommendations, shoot me those as well.
Awesome. All right, everybody, enjoy the rest of your day, afternoon, evening, weekend, wherever you're listening to us, and we will catch you all later. Peace out. Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product, fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code COMICCOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.